So your recommendation to someone who may be tempted by drifting away from things is, A, first of all, look at what they have to strengthen about themselves. And if it's competency in clinical terms of the adjustment, not needing 7 more diplomates or something else, but the adjustment and competency in the rendering of a care plan, competency in getting paid for it, those things they would work on first. Where do they go?
You have to turn with it. I mean, you know what? Your patients in your office, they improve because you remove interference that allows them to function from inside out. They walk in with the ability to be healthy. You're removing interference. So we need to look at ourselves in a practice standpoint from the same way. If we're not 100% sold out, if we're not confident, what interference have we placed in our way? What subluxation above Atlas, if you will, that we can remove to allow that ability to shine through? And in most cases, it's the personal habits, it's the personal thought processes, the trainings, the prayer, the medication, the meditation, the breathings.
Right.
You know, speaking properly so that you're not saying things that are justifying in your mind things that aren't right. You know, those are the things that are important. It's the personal preparation that makes a big difference.
But that's what you're talking about. People have to learn the simple disciplines of what you know, great people do to be successful. And they're usually very simple, right?
Absolutely. I mean, they're just things, and I remember getting back into practice, how many of those things I'd actually forgotten.
Yeah.
You don't just walk into an office and start, ball players don't just, step up to the plate and start batting. They take batting practice. These are guys who are professionals.
Right.
They take batting practice. In the analogy of basketball, if I could take a moment and tell a little story on that.
Yeah.
I'm a big basketball fan. I've been to a lot of basketball games. And several years ago, I went to a game in Atlanta here where the Hawks were playing the then world champion Chicago Bulls.
Mm.
It was a Sunday game, so, it was televised on NBC. And then, everybody was there. The stars were out. There were celebrities in the crowd. And they introduced the Atlanta Hawks, who run out onto the court, and everybody politely claps. Then they introduced the Chicago Bulls, and it's Jordan, it's Pippen, it's Rodman, it's all those stars, and, cameras are going off like crazy, and everybody starts, the team start running their layup drills, and then that breaks down, and they're doing their shooting, and that breaks down, and, as players are leaving the court, I noticed there were only 2 players left on the court. One is standing at a foul line and intensely making a foul shot one after the other, with a ball boy throwing the ball back as if it was the end of the game and everything counted here. The most basic thing, a foul shot, doing it over and over and over again. The other player is doing turnaround jump shots in the same position over and over again. So finally, the color guard with the flags is coming out on the floor, and then they have to leave. The 2 players at the foul line, Michael Jordan. At the turnaround jumper, Scottie Pippen. Probably some of the two best players in history of the game, doing the fundamentals over and over and over again, just as long as they could, to play a team that frankly wasn't that good.
Right.
Practicing the fundamentals.
Right.
And that spoke volumes to me that here's Jordan doing a basic over and over again before he plays that game.
Well, I love what you're sharing, and it reminds me of the struggle that we have to deal with wanting to help our peers, because yet there'll be chiropractors say, but scripting makes you phony, and practicing makes you phony. You got to learn to just go with an 8, man. Just let it flow. Just be natural. And, Michael Jordan and a Pippen are natural after they practice the same exact shot 20,000 times for perfect, identical performance without one thing being different, right?
Absolutely. I mean, and that idea of not scripting and not being having it down. You know what? All of those doctors who say that, they've been to concerts. And you know in the concert that the performers are doing a song they have done 10,000 times before, yet because they don't have to think about the mechanics of the song, now it's an innate performance. Now it's out there. They don't have to think about what notes to play.
Right.
They've got that down from practice, from rehearsal. That's what rehearsals are.
Right.
Now it's a pure performance. I script my lecture. I script a lot of stuff. But now what I'm doing is it's a pure performance because I don't have to think about the words anymore.
So stay with me with that, because, you and I, obviously, we don't have to say a lot to reveal that we prefer and favor that the language of our profession is protected and that subluxations are what we deal with and adjustment is how we deal with it. And we believe that the 33 principles are not unique just to chiropractic, but they are chiropractic principles. But they are, in fact, laws of human function just as well. And we appreciate our philosophically rich peers in the profession. But sometimes I find that it's more often the philosophical faction of our profession that you'll get a real bashing from if you try to get scripted. And ironically, they're very scripted, but in philosophical stuff, I mean, do you sense sometimes there's a little confusing story there?
Well, you know, I draw a difference between what I call our philosophical brethren and our dogmatic brethren.
Ah.
To me, dogmatic means you're repeating it because you think that's what you should be repeating. You don't own it. I've seen too many young students who are very dogmatic get out, and the minute they had a challenge, the minute something came in front of them, the dogma wasn't strong enough to withhold, so they drifted. Mm. When you own the principle, it doesn't have to be dogma. And at that point, when you own that principle, if you come up against the hardest opposition, you don't waver.
Beautiful.
So I draw a difference. The dogmatic chiropractors, in my opinion, are weaker than those that are principled.
Got it. So, in other words, what you would advise our young or blossoming docs is, if you have to practice and fake it till you make it in order to, get some of this stuff in your vocabulary, fine. But you need to really move to the fact that you own it because you truly live it, you truly believe it, and it's an authentic part of your character, not just a memorized script.
Absolutely. I mean, when I tell a patient I can help them, it's not like it may be partially a script, but I own it 100%.
Beautiful.
It's not something I have to, I mean, granted, I have scripted, so I have the words right, but when I'm saying it, the feeling is I own this. This is not something I'm thinking of and repeating because I know I'm supposed to. I own it.
Yeah, it's sweet to think of that because really all we're saying is, hey, you definitely want to be rehearsed. You want to have an essence of perfection about you. But by the way, you got to be authentic. It's got to be true to who you are. Sweet.
Yeah. If you're saying it because you think you're supposed to say it, then you're not seeing it as the truth. And if you're not spilling what you believe is the truth, they can read that. People can see that. They can spell it.
Beautiful.